Merry Christmas. For all of those that are worshiping online at Bush Lake, at West Tonka, and a special shout out to all of you who are in the Woodside room right now, thank you so much for being flexible on our Chanhassen campus, and to all of you who are here gathered, and for guests especially, we just pray that you have a great time with your family and your friends, and that we all feel like we are one together. In that short little video that you saw, there are simple scenes that really inform our images of Christmas. They even inspire our Christmas carols. So we saw Mary and Joseph on the donkey making their way from Nazareth all the way down into Bethlehem. They're angels. We find a star. They're shepherds and sheep, a manger, and a baby. A baby. It surprises us when we step into that story. And yet we reenact that story every year, for centuries now, in all kinds of different ways. Just out of curiosity, how many of you have been to at least one Christmas concert or pageant in the last month? Could you just raise your hand so we can see? All right, a good majority of you have already been to one. I've been to three, and they've been meaningful, but each one so different. You know, when a doctor is there with a mom giving birth to a child, it is very common for a doctor to say, with enthusiasm, congratulations, it's a boy, it's a girl. And I got a new twist on that from a group of six-year-olds and their Sunday school class when their teacher said to them that they were given the privilege to write their own Christmas script. That is, the reenactment of the birth of story from the eyes of six-year-olds, and they would stage it and direct it themselves. So you know it got interesting. You find that there are three Marys, two Josephs, six shepherds, because everybody likes sheep. And there are two wise men and one boy who insisted that he be the cow. And then there's another boy who decided that he would be the doctor who would deliver the baby. Smart kid. And the teacher took in all these imaginative concepts and said, go for it, have fun with it. And that little doctor could not wait to make his way to the manger, pick up that doll, wrap it in the beauty and the warmth of that blanket. And then with a smile and proud doctor's face, he looked at all the Marys and all the Josephs and held the baby up and said, it's a God. Not a boy, not a girl. It's a God. Almost got it right. It's not just a God. It is the God. It's Christmas, and we give it the name incarnation. God takes the form of a human, a baby. But why a baby? Well, we get some perspective from the Gospels themselves. We find that the shepherds are out there that evening, and an angel appears, and they're completely terrified by that encounter. And the angels say, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And you have to pause in the story. We hear it so much and realize, he says, do not be afraid. Because you know that religions and people have approached God for centuries first with fear. They're afraid of what it is to be in the presence of God. But then we're told that it's good news. But most religions and people approach God assuming the worst, bad news. But this is a good news story. You don't have to be afraid. Welcome the good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord, and this will be assigned to you. You will find a baby. Wrapped in a cloth and lying in a manger. And then you go into Matthew's gospel, and it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So we get a picture of why it is that God comes to earth in order to save people, you and me, from our sins. And then in your programs, you saw I have a reference in there for Titus chapter 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It's salvation that is for all, not to some, not God's favorites, but to all people. And so the message is clear. Jesus becomes a human so that he could be the Savior that we need and want. He comes into the world to save us of our sins. And we know that our sins separate us from God. But Jesus reunites us with God. He covers our sins. And we're so glad that he takes that given posture and approach. And still, I ask the question, why a baby? Why a baby? And yes, I know that there's a prophetic word from Isaiah that says this is going to be the reality, but why a baby? I have pondered that question for years, wrestling with why God would show up and reveal himself as a baby. And there are probably many reasons, but there's one reason that I've become quite confident about being true. And it can be summarized in one word, approachable. That is, what kind of God is God the Father? He is approachable. And he comes as a baby to send that message. And we find that that word approachable simply means that it's someone easy to meet. It's somebody who's accessible. It's friendly kind of encounter. It's somebody capable of being approached. And certainly a baby is approachable. And God is really giving us this message, approach me. Come to be with me. It's safe with me. No, God is approachable. One of the very favorite memories I have of my father, who passed away in 2009, but it's a memory that comes to me again and again, just wafts through the air, and I revisit this moment I had with my dad many, many times. I was but an 8-year-old boy, and I was we were at a lake together. My dad was a little bit of a distance, and I approached him and stood right next to him and in front of him. And he did something that stays with me today. He took his hand and put it on the small of my neck. I can feel my dad's hand today. There was something about that moment that I could approach him and be with him and be safe with him. I did not want him to take his hand off of the small of my neck. And that's the picture that we have of who God is, that he is this God who allows us to come into his presence. We can approach him and not be afraid, be with him and be safe with him. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. But let me just back the truck up here a moment and give you some context to the greater reason of why God invaded the world in which we live. Because it was a trying time. We know that the stage was set because far too long there had been this reality of being caught. The world was caught in this web of sin and death. And it was terrible from the vantage point of heaven of what was happening on the world, that we were captured by these forces, this network of forces of hostility toward God and other people. So God decides at just the right time to invade the world in order to conquer the enemies of sin and death, in order to bring the triumph to these evil forces. That makes sense to me. But then you would expect that God, when he broke into the world and invaded this world, that the night sky would have been lit up with the wonders of everything that was taking place for the world to behold. You would have expected that when God invaded the earth, that the earth would have shaken by the reality of his impact, that people would have known that God had landed. But when you read the story, it's not at all the way that it is told. We find that God comes, invades the world as a baby. And you could call it a sleepy invasion. A baby. So unexpected. And yet when you think about who we are in our humanity, and you contrast how people invade enemy territory compared to God, it's amazing the difference. I mean, you just take a look at Russia. Russia invaded Ukraine 3 years ago, and they, you know, simultaneously launched this air and ground attack that would be the largest kind of air attack and ground attack that they had ever done since 1945. And we're told, I mean, the numbers are moving all over the place, that approximately 500,000 people are dead in 3 years. And we watched it unfold. The world has taken notice. Or you take Hamas, the terrorist group that invaded Israel just on October 7th, just over a year ago. And when they did, they waged a war against Jews that has not been seen since the Holocaust. Babies were slaughtered. Villages were burnt. People in their homes were taken down. And hostages were taken, 240 of them. And to date, in just 1 year, 50,000 people are dead. And we watched it. The world took notice of it. And we take that into consideration and the reality of the invasion of people compared to God. When people invade, it seems very clearly that death follows. But when God invades, life follows. And so we come in the presence of an almighty creator. That is, everything comes from him. Everything belongs to him. Everything will be returned to him. He is the almighty God, and he is greater than any army that has ever been put together on the face of the earth in all of history and all of those armies combined. And yet when he invades the earth, the sound you hear is the gentle breath of a baby whose infant cries speak the voice of God through human lips. Oh, the wonder of Christmas, my friends, is a sleepy invasion, that God comes as a baby, something to behold. In fact, when I take a step back from all of this, it makes me personally glad that God did not consult me or you concerning how he should reveal himself as God into this world, because we would not have chosen his strategy. We're limited in our view. We can't completely understand the reasons he chose to reveal himself as he did. But can I give you some of the glimpses of the story of Christmas and remind you how significant and how different it is from our choice? I mean, consider the town, Bethlehem. If God had asked us, most would say, no, be born in a town that's dignified, a city that's noteworthy, like New York or London or Paris or Rome, because those cities are fitting for a king of kings. It is in those places you find the most influential and the most affluential people in the world. That would be the right kind of place and town to come into this world. But friends, would you have chosen Bethlehem, a sleepy, unseen, unknown, ordinary town? And yet it was a prophet by the name of Micah who foretold that this indeed would be the case so long before Jesus even came, that from the line of David would come a baby to be born in Bethlehem. So we find Joseph and Mary making their way from Nazareth, going all the way to Bethlehem, not because they wanted to. She was pregnant. That was a hard, long trek, but because they had to. Caesar Augustus had called for a census to be taken, and you had to return to your ancestral town. And that's how they land in Bethlehem and fulfill that prophetic word. So I just want you to realize, in Bethlehem, God reveals himself as approachable to all people. That is, those unseen and unheard and ordinary people, maybe like yourself. When Jesus became a human, he could be the Savior that we most needed and wanted. And you look at other glimpses of the story, take into consideration the birth setting, a manger. If God would have asked us, most of us would say, oh, be born in a place more prestigious, a place like Mayo Clinic. That would make sense for the influential and the affluential to come into that given arena. In fact, you think about the people who've come through Mayo Clinic. It's pretty significant. President George Bush and his wife, Barbara. King Hussein of Jordan came through there. Johnny Cash. Muhammad Ali, Ernest Hemingway. That seems like a place fitting for the King of Kings to come. I mean, would you have chosen a manger? A keeping place for animals? Unclean? Even stinky? No. Do you realize that God reveals himself as approachable to all people? To those who see themselves unclean, he comes. To those whom we think are unclean, he comes. To those who live in unclean places, he comes. And we know that Jesus becomes a human so that he could be the Savior we need and want. Or continue the story and you think, well, how about the parents? I mean, would you have chosen Joseph and Mary? I mean, if God would have asked us, most would say, be born of someone of more significant stature, somebody like Catherine Middleton. I mean, her title is an amazing title. Her Royal Highness, the Princess of Wales. This seems like a fitting woman for the birth of a child to come, a mother to be. It makes sense. A woman of influence and affluence who would match the very influence and affluence of God himself. And yet, who would we choose? Would we choose somebody like Mary, a peasant girl, poor, a woman who is engaged, but pregnant, not yet formally married? The the controversy that that created in and of itself is something else. But a message is undergirding it that we cannot miss. Paul brings reference to it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. So can I just add an exclamation mark here? Jesus comes to us through the poor. So I want to thank you for being part of our Christmas Eve offering. Since 1995, our first Christmas, we said every Christmas we will give away in its entirety the dollars that are received to help the disadvantaged, the poor, those in great need around the world, so that we would never forget that Jesus comes through the poor, that our Father reveals himself as approachable to all people, to the poor, the disadvantaged, that Jesus becomes a human so that he could be the Savior that we most need and want. And you continue the story as it unfolds and consider a baby. If God would have asked us, most would say, you know, be born of stature where you would have the strength of Hercules or the vision of Napoleon, or that you would have the resilience of Winston Churchill. Even the disciples expected a warrior Messiah to come and to conquer the foreign lands. Would you have chosen a baby? A baby. It's just so unexpected that God would reveal himself through a baby. We wouldn't do that. A baby is, in that time, you think about it, you could place your hand and feel the skin, the warmth of God's presence himself in that moment. Something to behold. That Jesus was not a baby who became a God. He was God who became a baby, a baby. So through a baby, the Father reveals himself as approachable to all people. And I love that he does this, that every little boy and girl and every grown man and woman can approach God. That Jesus becomes a human in order to be the Savior that we most need. And one more, consider his name, Jesus. Jesus. I mean, if God would have asked us, most would say, oh, be born and given a name more notable, a name of a great hero, somebody like Alexander the Great, that would make sense. Or Sam Darnold. Just for some perspective for you non-football people in the room, I'm sorry. But for those who are football people, I would put Sam Darnold in a classification of hero. Yes? But no, here he comes. Would you have chosen a common name like Jesus? Do you realize how ordinary that name? It is one of the most common of common names in the scriptures. We find that Jesus, that name appears over 600 times to different Jesuses that appear. That there are five high priests that are known by the name of Jesus. That Josephus, the great historian from the first century, includes 20 influential Jesus personalities who changed the world, were impacting the world in different kinds of places. So I guess it means that if Jesus was to arrive today and be born here in our time, he would be given a common name like Joe or Bob or Tim or Tom or Dave or something like that, a common name. And yet we know that even though he's given this common name, that there's something completely majestic about his name. It's a majestic name. We know when we go into Revelation that the Lord will return. And we read in the scriptures this incredible picture. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess, acknowledge that Jesus is the Lord. And yet, he's given a common name so that you feel like you could invite him over to your house to watch the Packer-Viking game this weekend. Or you could see him almost wrestling with your kids on the floor or dozing in your couch or laughing at your jokes and maybe adding a few of his own. And that when you would speak with him, you would just have this profound sense that he's listening to you with the time of eternity. Nobody has listened to you the way Jesus listens to you. Yeah, Jesus, that's his name. And this baby, Jesus, is powerful. And the Father reveals in all of that power that he is approachable to all people, that Jesus becomes a human in order that he could be the Savior that we most need and want. And I'm so grateful that he does. I'm so glad that God didn't come to me or to you and consult us about how he should reveal himself into the world. I know for myself, I would not have chosen Bethlehem, a manger, parents who are on the brink of poverty, a baby by the name of Jesus, just a common name. And I go, why is it that we wouldn't think that way? Because we have a limited perspective and we tend to decide things by our own given need, our own small world perspective. And we enter into that. We have a view of power, where power should be, because the leaders of history power over lands, power over people. And Jesus comes in, a sleepy invasion, and he powers under as a baby, that all people would know that he is approachable. We could come to him. So glad that Jesus became human so that he could be the Savior we need. So let's celebrate Christmas. A baby is the kind of God, when he comes, that represents the heart of God the Father, which is approachable. And boy, did people approach him. Even when he came as a baby, there were shepherds and magi, small group, but they came. But as he grew to be a man, oh, people followed him, flocked around him. They touched him when he walked the street. They followed him around the lakes. When he was teaching, they would just crowd around him to listen. They would invite Jesus into their homes, and he would go. They would offer their children to him, and he would bless them. Oh, the wonder of what we come to really celebrate at Christmas is amazing. They weren't reluctant to approach him for fear of the Lord, because to them, he was good news of great joy. He was approachable, so they approached him, and God blessed them and changed life after life. I had an experience here recently, quite honestly, that has stuck with me since it happened. It's just been like on loop repeat in my own mind. I was greeting people after a worship service on our Chanhassen campus here, and people were coming through, and this woman approached me, and she had a boy with her, about the, I think, age of 9 or so. And she said, this is my first Sunday coming to this church, and I came by accident. And I go, how do you come to a church by accident? I was just curious about that. And she began to tell me that she just moved into the area a week before, and that she received an invitation for a friend to join her at church that Sunday, which she thought was this church, but it wasn't this church. But she said, I was supposed to be here today, because that message spoke to her personally. And then she began to explain how and why that she was supposed to be here on that day. But her 9-year-old son was standing right next to her, and he had a shoestring. And he was hitting her while she was speaking to me. And he didn't stop. And she just kept speaking. She was not distracted at all. She just kept speaking. I was distracted. He was within arm's reach. So while she's speaking, I just rested my hand on his shoulder, gently, just rested. And you know what happened? He stopped hitting. He wasn't hitting to hurt. He was hitting to call attention to himself. He needed something. She continued to speak and tell an amazing story of her journey and how she ended up moving into this community for safety reasons, because her life was at risk in the previous community she was at. While he's listening, and all of a sudden there's this gravitational pull. I'm not moving him at all. He just starts moving toward me until he's right in front of me. And I have a moment. And I remember my dad. So I put my hand on the small of his neck, this young boy, doesn't know me at all. And I'm gonna tell you, he just calmed. And he leaned into me, this complete stranger. I have processed this so many times since that happened, thinking about a mom who I think represents the reality of each of us. We are a broken people. We just deal with brokenness all the time. You got brokenness in your family Christmas celebrations, I'm sure. I don't know if you'll speak it out loud or not, but you know, we're people. We move from disappointments that become discouragements emotionally impacting us. They become distance realities with people that we know and love. And sometimes we just detach ourselves completely. I think she represents something that happens to most of us sometime in our lifetime. There's just brokenness. And then I see this son, this boy, who has a heart. He has a heart to be helped. He's looking for hope. He's looking for healing. And so he leans in feeling like, It's a safe place to be. This is the story of God. This is the story of Jesus, the Son of God, who comes into the world and sees that we are broken people, that our sin separates us from him, and he comes to bring us back together with our Lord, the one who created us in the first place. And you can almost figuratively envision the hand of the Lord this Christmas season coming down and resting on your shoulder. And as it does, there's something in your heart, your inclination is to know him. And you lean into him and find that there's help in him. In him, there is hope and even healing. In him, there is this love, this joy, this peace that we celebrate at Christmas. It's found in a person in Jesus Christ. And this Christmas, I think that's the message for all of us, that the Father, God, so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever would believe in him, approach him, would experience his good hand and the promise of love, joy, and peace. That he will give to you. And if that's the case, I go back to that call in Revelation that a day will come when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And I think to myself, here's my common sense side. Why would you wait for that day to come? Why wouldn't you embrace that moment right now? If you have been away from the Lord, come home. That's the invitation of Christmas. He's approachable. There's power in his name. There's help and there's hope and healing in his name. And you say, well, how would I do that? Well, it's really quite simple. At least the beginning of the journey is, and it's to offer yourself to him. Could we do that together in prayer? Join me. Thank you, God, for a love that draws us in when we're inclined to move out and away. Jesus became a human so he could be the Savior that we most need and want. And we need you, and we want you. And so, Lord, when we come to this moment, I'm mindful that some of us know we restored that relationship with you, but there are many here who have been away, and I pray that you would be calling them home. And if that be you, you can just offer this prayer quietly in your heart to the Lord. Just say to him, I confess I've been away. I confess my need to be home. I receive you as my Savior. I will walk with you as my Lord, but I will need some help. So guide my steps that I would enter into your presence and experience your help and your hope and your healing even on this day. Oh Lord God, what do you see from the balcony of heaven this day with Christians around the world? I pray that you receive adoration and worship because you are the living God and you give us life. And we say thank you for being approachable. In Jesus' name, amen.